this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell.
But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how you doing? How you doing? So much enthusiasm in your voice. Almost sounds like you think we still got a shot at top four.
I'm excited for Rebuild 4.0. That's right. We're going to have Mike Phelan, Rio Ferdinand, Paul Scholes, picking and choosing who to buy, Woodward 350, never say die. And we're not out of top four. We got a 6% chance, according to 538.com. You said we're out of it, sir. I'm not giving up.
So you're saying there's a chance. We're going to need some supreme bottling from everybody else running for those two spots. But hey, it's possible.
Arsenal?
Everyone's in dreadful form, as are we. It could be a stumble to the finish.
You know, we got to do our business. And part of the last 10 matches is we haven't done our business, but you know,
not even close.
That's why we're breaking down this next match, sir.
It's
that's
a big
right.
One.
We got Huddersfield Town versus Manchester United. It's away at the John Smith's Stadium in Huddersfield, United Kingdom, Sunday, May 5th, 6 a.m. Pacific, early wake-up time. Sir, get the coffee going. How you feeling about this match? We're due.
We certainly do. Fixture gods are generous.
We're
the last two
do.
Games this season, to be fair. You know, if we needed some results and they mattered, these are games where we should be picking up 6 points, Huddersfield and then Cardiff at home to finish out the season. So let's switch out the squad, right? I think you flush it out a little bit and give some players that didn't start in the last game against Chelsea a chance. I'm excited. Huddersfield are going out. They don't have much to play for, so we should get all 3 points.
You know, this is their last game in the Premier League. They're going to want to go out on top. I'm not going to write any opposition off, right? And when you're playing the way we are, you need the ball to bounce our way, and you need Huddersfield not to show up. So I'm hoping that we can get some young blood in the side, some youngsters on the bench. We're not out of top four. You know, crazier things have happened in this game. That's why you play the game. There's a few bottling clubs, Chelsea and Arsenal. I rate them to bottle it. Chelsea, maybe less so.
We need both. That's the thing. You need both to bottle. Double bottle.
It could happen.
Definitely could happen.
6%. I mean, you know,
there's
you're talking
chance.
Like one in 20. It's not out of this world, but I do think we need fresh blood. So I don't want Ole to look at that 6% chance and not maybe consider starting a Greenwood.
No,
or
I don't,
a Chong,
oh, yeah.
Right? Because
yeah.
Like these kids should have come in a long time ago, in my opinion. Switching out Rashford, Lukaku, no one scoring up front, Lingard coming in, relying on him, the Barcelona start. It's kind of old news. These guys aren't doing the job, so I like next man up, the way Fergie would kind of trust a kid. If Lukaku's not scoring, put in Greenwood. Why not?
Why not? And I agree with you.
Or at least a sub.
But we can't expect them to not show up, right? That's Huddersfield because they're playing at home. As you said, it's probably the last game in the Premier League for a minute at home. So they're going to step up. We need to step up and not expect them to just roll over because otherwise we'll get embarrassed even more and lose to Huddersfield, which is just inconceivable at this point. But it's not impossible. So we have to show up and take them seriously. And that's why I think you give a kid like Greenwood a shot because he's certainly looking to impress and we're having a bit of a striker injury crisis at the moment.
I don't know if it's a crisis. Neither are in form or scoring goals. So at the end of the day, would you start Lukaku and Rashford again after they haven't produced really?
Maybe one of them. But the guys behind them aren't in form either. Martial is not playing well. Sanchez is not playing well.
Well, I think the Chongs and the Greenwoods of the world got to get in there, right? Someone's got to score goals.
They're chomping to the bit, sir. They're ready to go. So
you know, this isn't your Tuesday league. This is Manchester United. Someone's got to get in there and score. They're getting paid millions. Either way, the teams have played 3 times in the Premier League era. United winning twice. Huddersfield with 1 win. That is surprising. Last time we played was on Boxing Day, if you can remember that. The early days of the Ole hype train that was packed out. The train was full.
Now just getting going. Game two, sir. Just getting going.
That was a lot of space. Plenty of room for extra large baggage on the train. we won 3-1 thanks to a Matic goal and a Pogba brace. The good old days of the Pogba brace. And shout out to Pogba, who is in the PFA team of the year, sir. A lot of controversy around Pogba being named to this team. Obviously, if you're not familiar with the PFA, it's voted on by the players, and he was in there in the midfield. Hazard for example, did not make it. And Pogba, some journos are speculating he got there because of his social media clout, his popularity. But I do think it was during this period he earned his spot in that team with all the braces. His stats season-wide look pretty good, but when you think of the Mourinho days and then now kind of how he's been playing, I'm kind of surprised he made it in. But, you know, he's too big of a player to leave out, right, I think?
Well, I think based on his stats from the central midfield position, just the goals and assists that he put up this year are pretty impressive. And I think that is what put him there because everyone else was either from Liverpool or City, the two teams that are vying for the title. So I think it was just, what, 13 goals? 13 Premier League goals and I think close to 10 assists at this point. So impressive stats, a lot of penalties, but they're still impressive nonetheless. So
a lot of delayed run-ups there. United come in awful form. Yes, we were talking about it, winning only one in the in the last five matches in the league, three defeats and one draw, abysmal, especially when you consider we lost by four to Everton. So you can't rule out a 2-0 loss to Huddersfield away when you're losing to 4-0 at Everton. I'm hoping that won't happen. A little history on Huddersfield. In 1910, just 3 years after being founded in 1907, Huddersfield entered the Football League for the first time. In November 1919, a fundraising campaign was needed to avoid a move to Leeds.
Dreaded Leeds.
Big Manchester United rival. And the citizens of Huddersfield were asked to buy shares in the club for £1 each. And the club staved off the proposed merger. I mean, I love history like this. Every citizen, you know, looking under their mattress for that £1 so they can chip in and save the football club. Seems to me we've come a long way with these billionaire foreign owners coming in and buying all these teams. It's really strange if you think of all the foreign ownership coming in to buy football clubs in England. It's pretty incredible when you think of the Qatari oil money, potentially the Saudi oil money, the Russian
private equity money.
Yeah, it's everyone sees this league.
Well, the game is developed, right? It's such a commercial asset now, and it's such a moneymaker that the game has evolved.
Well, they invented the modern game, and who knew in 1910 Huddersfield could be worth $100 million, right?
With £1 shares, right?
Yeah, £1. If you invested £1 in Huddersfield back then, yeah, you would get relegated.
But Huddersfield has some history. Let's keep going down. They are an esteemed company as it comes to titles.
I mean, who would have thought that, sir? I mean, this is why we do a deep dive here at the American Red Devils podcast, because there's always some laughs here in the in the EPL club history when you get down to the bottom of the table. The club spent over 5 years debating what color the kit should be. I mean, this is written in all history books.
You gotta know this.
Kids coming up in primary school, they learn this. It ranged from salmon pink to plain white or all blue with blue yolk. I don't know what that means. White with blue yolk. We'll have to look that one up. Eventually in 1913, after
much pondering,
heated debate in the town center, the club adopted the blue and white jersey that remains to this day. I like the salmon pink. I mean, back in the day, 1913, that's kind of a bold move to play in pink. Huddersfield became the first English club to win three successive English League titles in 1926. A feat only three other clubs have matched, including Manchester United, who did it twice. And, sir, you want to jump into the record of the most consecutive league titles?
Well, this is just, esteemed company for Huddersfield Town. I actually had no idea that there are four teams that have won three titles in a row, and Huddersfield are one of them. They did it from 23 to 26. Arsenal did it from 32 to 35. Scouse Bastards did it from 81 to 84. And, of course, Manchester United, the most famous club in the world, did it twice. The only club to do it twice, from 98 to 2001, and, of course, 2006, 2009. So two great Fergie teams.
And City have a bid, potentially, to do it next season, which...
Well, they still got to finish this season off, sir. They could still bottle it.
They could bottle it. Liverpool could bottle it for them. Liverpool got smoked by Barcelona. That makes my day.
They got messy.
That makes my day.
They got the treatment that we felt. Hey. I mean, hey, they're not...
I mean,
Barcelona are pretty good.
You know, you're kind of doing Champions League math there. You know, Liverpool lose by three at the Camp Nou. You know, we lost pretty bad, but, you know, we're pretty even with Liverpool, and everyone's hype train on Liverpool. So if you actually think about it, it isn't that bad. We only went down one goal going into the Camp Nou, and we'll see if Liverpool can
hold. See what they do at Anfield.
On aggregate, you know, that might not look too bad, right?
Well, they've been a more consistent side, right, fighting for that title. But, hey, man, Europe will... keep anyone honest about what their capability is. I know they went to the final last year. They have a great team, but Barcelona is also a great team. And I think we held water with them. We made some mistakes, but
No, it's just
Liverpool
good to see
getting messied.
Liverpool like lose big at the Camp Nou after we did, especially considering everyone's like there's a huge gulf in talent in United and Liverpool, and we had all these injuries, and we still played to a similar caliber.
There's
than
a gulf,
did.
But it's not as huge, I think, as people make it out to be. There's a lot
or
of
maybe a Van Dijk away, or maybe a Sancho
away from
Liverpool.
We need a couple.
Sir, we'll get into the transfer news. Quick tactical breakdown on Huddersfield. Fortunately for us, they are not in 1926 form here. They're relegated. That's right. They're headed out of the league. And, you know, we have some teams coming in. That's going to be pretty exciting there with that playoff in the championship. Quick formation. Huddersfield go with the 4-1-4-1. Maybe that's why they're getting relegated. They like to pack it in against the top sides.
Hasn't worked.
Hasn't really worked too well. They did the same against Liverpool recently. They lost by 5. So this will be some good EPL math. Can we beat Huddersfield by 4 or 5? Help out our goal differential. Maybe make Chelsea nervous here. Again, not too worried about Huddersfield as we did dispatch them earlier in the season. Their leading scorer, Carlin Grant, sir, 4 goals on the season on the left wing. So if you're going to look, if someone has an eye for goal, he has 4, which is not too many for the EPL and probably why.
And that'll get you relegated. Basically, yeah. You want a formula to get relegated is your top scorer scores 4 goals and he's a left winger. You need a striker. So that's tough for Huddersfield. So
yeah, but I'm not going to laugh too hard at them because at the same time, we come in on dreaded form in a hungry Huddersfield. Someone try a lot of these players are going to play, try to stay in the league, or if they have a good game towards the end of the season, scouts are going to
notice.
They
got a job interview.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's a job
watch
interview.
United
so.
Game, and yeah, like you said, a lot of the players are probably not going to be able to be kept by Huddersfield budget reason wise. You know, they have to ship some players to be able to compete with the championship, you know, salaries and budget. So they're going to be looking to impress, bro. Every team that plays Manchester United plays up, you know. They look to impress. It's a big game.
But we can't worry about our opposition. We got to worry about us. We got to score goals.
Well, we can't
chances,
count on them not showing up. You know? We need to show up, and we need to go and put the knife to them and just blow them out in the first half like we used to do under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Speaking of putting the knife to them, we have a lot of injuries, sir. They're piling up. Marcus Rashford, he has a shoulder injury. Obviously, we saw that. He's out until May 5th. He might make the Cardiff match. Eric Bailly, his knee ligament, he's gone. Rest of the season,
done.
He's done. Lukaku's got a tight hamstring.
I think he's actually done for the season, too. That's what reports are saying.
I mean, the physioroom.com says May 5th, maybe Cardiff. Again, hysterically, Lukaku launched a new fragrance, I think, online this week. And on Twitter, someone tweeted him, hey, does this only last for 20 minutes? I thought that was a good... Twitter's always got the cheeky banter. Lukaku got nothing to say back.
Well, sir, if it's flammable, and he does leave this summer, we can use it as a flame enhancer.
Look, it's not Lukaku's year, and I re-listened to the last podcast. I got to say, a little harsh on the guy. That's
you were very harsh on this guy.
It's because I flew from New York City, watched the game on the airplane. He should have scored the first goal, didn't do it. I was a little upset. That's why we usually record pod the day after the match, because we're
a little
salty.
A little bit.
You record right after the match. Just a little,
especially after a 6-hour flight.
He has a harsh tongue. So I'm going to say, for the Lukaku fans, I know I kind of laid into him a little bit, but it's been that type of year for Lukaku, and I want him to come off at United, but it seems to me he hasn't had his head in the game. Whatever it is, again, I could see him leaving United and doing really well at another club. So I don't doubt that he has the skill. I don't doubt that he, you know, has the desire. But right now, this season, he seems out of sorts. I don't know if it was Mourinho leaving or what did it, but him coming in and jamming with Pogba in LA, partying it up, and then the way he's playing right now and has done it this season, he deserves a little criticism, right?
He deserves a little criticism.
He
should
have stepped
up. He
should
have, like, 5 to 10 more goals this season, but you know what? I don't think he's had the same level of consistent service that he had in previous seasons, but he's also let himself down and been out of form. So I think I am, you know, in the camp that you give him another year. I think there's still room for Lukaku for now, and then you see what happens, because we did spend quite a bit of money on him. He is Premier League proven. He's got a goal scoring record in the league, which you can't always guarantee trying to bring in someone flashy from Serie A or La Liga. So I think we give him another season, bro, because we have other priorities that I think we need to fill in the near term, more so than, maybe not more so than a striker, because a lot of our strikers are out of form, but I think we got to do midfield and we got to do D first.
I don't disagree with having him for another season. I just like the idea of burning your
Sir
Darmian
jersey. Darmian's going to leave, so we got the Darmian jersey to burn.
Yeah, there'll be a few. Next injury on the list, Mike Smalling. He loves his milk, didn't drink enough of it. He's got a knock May 5th. He'll be back for Cardiff, hopefully. Phil Jones, same thing. And then Antonio Valencia with a muscle injury. You know, I think he's headed out on the Ocean Blue for the MLS. Maybe the Columbus Crew, sir. Who knows? Let's hear your lineup, given all those injuries. You know Huddersfield are going to play the 4-1-4-1. What's your formation? What is your lineup?
Sir, I think we're going to have to go for it because they're going to pack it in. I think they're going to come at us, but we're going to have to play our football and go for the win. So I'm thinking 4-3-3. Romero and Net. Sorry, De Gea, but... Said it last time,
you.
And now I'm ready to do it. Romero, Net, Deleau is right back. Lindelof and Rojo, given all our injuries in defense. Then Shaw comes in left back. Midfield three, McTominay, Fred, and Pogba. And then a front three, Mata, Sanchez, and Mason Greenwood.
I like that. Clearly, I'm playing the 4-3-3 as well. You got to go, Adam. I want some youngsters in this team here. I'm going to say... Dave saves. You got to get him back in there. He's got to get back in there. Build his confidence against Huddersfield. Ashley Young. You know, he played well against Hazard. Why not play him at Huddersfield? I know there's a lot of Ashley Young haters out there. Lindelof, Rojo, Shaw, McTominay, Pereira, Pogba. I'm going to go Mata, Sanchez, and Chong on the right wing. I rate Chong. He's got a higher work rate. I doubt he'll start. I could see Greenwood. You're probably right about the Greenwood getting the nod over him. But Chong in the 60, maybe 70th minute. I rate him. I really, if you watch him play in the under-21s, he looks sharp. And he's fast. He's got a great. I mean, he's got great cross.
He's got I think he's ready to make the move. He's got a good size, good frame to him now. And why not? Why not give him a go? Because you know what, Martial's not showing it. Sanchez isn't showing it.
He's got great flow.
Put him in.
He's got the intangibles.
He's got
the
great flow.
Right?
I mean, we missed that since Fellaini's left. Now he's the heir apparent, but a little more technical skill.
And when you end the season and you play some youth and you win some games, we still have a chance, but.
It's a good feeling.
We're probably out of it. I actually think if we can finish strong and we can get those appointments in for the technical director and we can get these signings done early, I'm going to be excited going into the preseason here. That's if. But, sir, we got to book the bookies here. We got some odds. Bookies going heavy favorites. Manchester United minus 302 at Huddersfield. I mean, the bookies, what are you thinking here? We could bottle it easily. We're on terrible form. Huddersfield to win plus 890. I mean, that's a pretty sharp bet. Or the draw plus 457. So I couldn't put my money on minus 300 right now, given Manchester United's form.
And injuries.
Maybe splitting a little cheddar on the Huddersfield win and the draw. That's what the sharps are saying. But who knows? Sir, what's your score prediction? What do you think? We've gotten a lot of these wrong. We always predict the win.
Or not.
We're going to play a game next season where actually it matters, the score prediction here, because we're just throwing out wins.
Until then, I'm calling 3-1.
I'll say 4-0. Pogba gets his brace that I predicted, and he hasn't gotten 10 games. So
called every single game.
I'd say Pogba's getting a brace.
This is
and
last
we're
brace.
Blowing it. He's going to step up, and he's going to lift up his jersey after he scores and says, "I'm staying." That's what he's going to say. "I'm staying," you know?
Pay up, Ed.
Pay up, Eddie. Twitter, checking in with the Twitterverse on some key thought leaders at Manchester United. Congratulations to Scott McTominay, who's Manchester United's player of the month for April. We had the worst form in April, lost out on top four, lost in the Champions League, and Scott McTominay is top player of the month. So it's of all the months you want to be player of the month, probably not this one, but, you know, shout out to the young lad.
Hey, we got to have a glass half full occasionally, right? So it was a crap month. Mouth for United, I think.
He had a great goal. He had a great goal, right?
He had a great goal, and he had a great month and put in some good performances against Messi at Barcelona and
at home. How frustrating that Wolves goal he scored just didn't come due, right? It's like,
I don't think that's on McTominay. So congrats to him to hopefully his first of many Player of the Month awards.
Definitely not letting him go to PSG. At United Extra on Twitter, quote, Solskjaer believes he does not need to buy a new center back this summer, hashtag MUFC. This is per the Daily Mail, so it's probably, tier three. Depending who writes it, they do have tier one
sources.
We're
hearing these rumors, though, sir.
I saw this, and I want to throw my phone out the window. I was so fired up. I was like, I'm not going through this again. It's like... Look at our defense.
I know. Largely justified.
Look at our defense.
I don't even
We let in the most goals. I mean,
you have in like 30
years. First
of
all, you also have the De Gea question hanging over the club. What's De Gea going to do? Is he going to regain his form or do he get space jammed? I have no idea what's going on. And then you're going to say, we need a defender. Even City is going to buy a defender. There's rumors that they're going to buy Slabhead. And it's like, look at all the defenders they have. We would take any one of those would start in our side,
yep.
And we are not going to go out and purchase a defender. I mean, this is pure muppetry if it's true. Anyone endorsing our back line right now, I mean, Phil Jones, we did re-sign him to a new deal. What, Rojo, we signed to a three-year deal last year? I mean, this is insanity. If you see him play, he's like all – it's like he – in his
studs
contract,
up. He studs up.
In his
like,
contract,
like he gets a
says,
bonus for every red card.
Yeah, he gets like 100,000 every red card he gets. I mean, like, we need. Look at what Van Dijk did for Liverpool. Look at what he did for their defense. And
look
at
what Rio did for ours.
It would take one towering physical presence at the back, and then Lindelof could play out from the back. A Van Dijk like that could really bully everyone, do the dirty work, and Lindelof can play out. We need one world class defender. I hope this is a smokescreen, sir. I really do hope it's a smokescreen.
It needs to, because you know what? I don't have the table right now, but we'll have it when we do our transfer breakdown, summer breakdown for the window in a couple of weeks after the season closes. But if you look at the most expensive defenders ever bought, right? Top 10, City's bought like six of the top 10, bro. Last time we were on the top 20 is Rio Ferdinand, and that was 2003. That was the last time he like broke the bank to sign a defender. And the last time was like really Luke Shaw. He was the most expensive, you know, teenager defender, but that's a stretch. We did it with Rio. That came good in a big way. That was like Van Dijk, you know. He like was a champion and just cemented the team.
Well, look
with
who
Vintage.
Was dude, Sir Alex Ferguson. He knew what we needed. We needed defense
and that was pre-Glazer. Exactly. That was when we just like spent money like no problem. We need to do that now. We need to do that on a bunch of positions, and they can't be, oh, well, we're going to blow the bank out on Sancho, but we're going to do it cheaper right back and not even buy a center back. I mean, that's the definition of short-sighted.
Yeah, and to further the summer transfer muppetry on Twitter, similar reports from various sources are saying Ole wants to make four signings to fill the right back, two center midfield, and one right winger. So these are the positions. This is why everyone's floating out that we do not need a center back. Again, I hope it is a smokescreen. If we need two central midfielders, that tells me, A, Herrera's gone to PSG. The right back, everyone knows, because Ashley Young, you know, he's over the hill. He has put in good work this season, despite him being over the hill. The right wing, clearly, it's something that we need, given Lingard hasn't been able to own that, or Mata hasn't been able to own that. And whenever we play Mata, we play him in the hole. So, again, Ole's going to want to play on the wing, stretch the opposition, similar to what City does, sir. You know, I think Bernardo Silva comes to mind on the right wing. So, a right winger would be critical for us. Two central midfielders, that seems like a lot to do. And when you start acquiring a lot of central midfielders, you kind of mess up the mojo of your team. That's why the Herrera leaving, I think, is going to hurt us quite a bit, especially when you think about the type of players that we need to acquire in central midfield if Pogba does not leave. So if Pogba does not leave, we're looking for different players. Like, can an Eriksen really play with a Pogba? Eriksen really is the one who's supposed to get forward play number 10. Is Pogba going to do the dirty work behind Eriksen? Probably not. So the conversation of how we play in the midfield with Paul P and without him, with Herrera, without him, it's going to be a lot of movement in a critical area for this team. It kind of concerns me going into next season because central midfielders need chemistry together.
They do. And I mean, we do have some central midfielders that we can rely on that have stepped up. And I think we'll continue to step up in Scott McTominay, Fred, and Pereira.
I wouldn't include Fred in that conversation.
We spent 52
yet.
Million pounds on
I know,
him.
But
I think
he hasn't really
year,
stepped up.
He hasn't, but
think.
I think he's shown flashes of his potential. And we know how hard it is to step to the Premier League. Most people need a season.
I think Fred actually just got, I think Mourinho benched him, and I think Ole tried to play him and has been benching him based on he gives him a chance and is like, oh, I got to bench him. I mean, Fred hasn't come off at all this season.
I agree that he's
McTominay
not come
has,
off,
but Pereira has. I would say Pereira has potential, McTominay has potential. Fred still, the jury's out.
Well,
I think
Fred has
out.
Potential. I'm not saying he's come off, but I certainly think he has potential. And by next year, I think we'll be singing a different
hope
song
so.
With Fred.
I really do hope so. But again, if you look in the midfield, Fred playing with Pogba, he's not a defender. I think Gary Neville made the point. It's like, Fred's not a defender. He has these lunging challenges.
No,
it's like 50-50.
But he's like a Conte mold. He is a defender. He's a defensive midfielder. He makes a lot of tackles.
His defensive challenges are pretty, like, the way he goes into challenges, if he wins them, he wins them. If he loses them, he loses them. And then we're on the break. And a lot of those challenges where he's lunged into, including, you know, a few, most recently when we've gone down in critical games, have been direct errors from him, including the Manchester City match, right? It's because he plays a little too aggressive when he's like last midfielder back.
When he plays that position, he's been playing last midfielder back, and that's the position you can absolutely not give the ball away in those positions, which he has, but it's been... You know, it's a big ask of him, but he hasn't stepped up.
Hey,
so
I hope he comes good. Like I said, I think hope he... A lot of summer talk
this
here.
This is the rumor. These four positions, like I said, the lack of center back is concerning, but I think based on the fact that Herrera is going, it seems like they think they can make do with the mishmash of center backs we have at our assemble. So we will see, sir. This is just the beginning of Muppetry season.
Yeah, and what's crazy when it comes to these transfer news is that you get the smokescreen effect. So, like, Manchester United might be lying. They don't want to center back and they want to sign two. You never know. And if kudos to them, if it's smart to send these rumors. Kills my heart reading these. Next tweet, United are ready to give Axel Tuanzebe a chance to prove he can break into the first team at Old Trafford this summer. He will attend United's preseason tour per the Mail. Again, he's on loan at Aston Villa. He's been playing well. Sir, I know you rate the young lad. I wouldn't mind him coming in. But again, I still think we need that, you know, marquee Kubali slab head defender to really shore things up. Why not do both?
No, I think what you do is if you're really going to be cheap and you think you have to spend more money at other positions and you don't want to break the bank, 80 million, 100 million for Kubali or even 70 million for a slab head, I think you do the Alderweireld. 25 million shores it up for a couple years, gives a chance for Tuanzebe to step up, Lindelof to continue to develop, hopefully Baye to come good. And then if you're still in the same position, you maybe eventually have to do it anyway. But that's just because we have a cheap board. But I'm excited about Tuanzebe. I think you should be doing both. You're right. But either way, we need Tuanzebe and then some.
You can argue defense. Next tweet at the Man United Way. This is just cheeky banter on Liverpool. You got to kick those scout spousers when they're down. And here's to hoping they do not win the league. Quote, Liverpool fans really laughed at us when Ronaldo celebrated when he scored against us. But Suarez, the guy who was in tears when they nearly won the league, knee slid when he scored against Liverpool at the Camp Nou. I love it. Laughing emoji here. And this says it all. I mean, we did get a lot of shit for when Ronaldo scored from Liverpool fans. And then you have Suarez, the worst player.
The worst.
The guy who bites people. He's a racist. Again, Liverpool all wore shirts supporting him when he was racist towards Patrice Evra. Boy, have we come a long way as it relates to racism in football. But, I mean, talk about low class. Not a low class Liverpool club and a low class player celebrating against them. So troll v troll here, as far as I'm concerned, sir.
I mean, I did not mind watching them get beat up 3-0 at the Camp Nou. So Suarez, he's a mercenary, you know.
What can you say? He's a low class.
What do you expect?
Uruguayan.
They're a low class club.
Yeah, but also, do you see the videos on Twitter of them celebrating? I forget the square's name in Barcelona,
yeah,
right off Ramblas.
Where they put all the English and they're doing all kinds of
they
awful
pushed
stuff.
All these they local and the fans in the fountain. They pushed these locals in the fountain. They were completely making a mess of everything. And United was there not too long ago and everyone was just singing, not having a good
keep
time.
Keep it on the rails.
Nothing.
And then they're like, well, we have a chance, so therefore we are allowed to act more a fool. But I think it's just that
low class.
It's in there. They're
low class.
They're known as a low class club.
Liverpool fans will listen to this pod. Anyway, we can slate them all we want. Low class. Scouse
bastards. This is a United pod. I don't think we have a lot of Liverpool listeners.
United in the news. Best ignore the idea of a MUFC technical director calling the shots in the transfer market. It will be very much a transfer committee style approach. Rio, Fletcher, among those who have spoken to with internal figures like Mike Phelan, the process is ongoing. So, I mean, that's a jumbled headline there per the Telegraph. But what they're trying to say is ain't no way they're giving away the right to spend money to a sole
candidate. To one
person,
yeah.
So what they're going to do is they say, hey, Ed Woodward, it's your decision, but you're going to sit in a room of all these Manchester United legends, and then they're going to give you their feedback, and you're all going to agree, and then you're going to buy players. And I like this approach because anyone thinking that the Glazers are going to sign money over and Woodward's going to sign his
no way. And
end decision over to anyone. So basically all this is going to do is this committee is going to agree and then Woodward's going to go to the Glazers and they're going to say yes or no. Right. So still getting to the point where this is a big summer. This is a real big summer. So I'm Glazers out because the owners, they didn't spend last summer. We really needed it. They didn't back Mourinho. This season could be completely different if they did. And they can turn around this summer, right? If they come out and they spend big and they really prioritize Manchester United getting to the top of English football, I'm not going to slate them for that. But show me the money. Show me the money.
Show me the money and show me the organization and the thought. And just let's have a plan. Let's put it together. Let's have it make sense. And let's execute on it. But let's not just like shoot by the hip and say, oh, Sanchez is available, let's sign it and just have it blow up our wage structure. And then, oh shit, 6 months later, we got to figure out the downstream effects of this.
Not one fan was against signing Alexis Sanchez.
I know, but that's why we're fans. We're not supposed to be making those decisions because we always like the shiny new object.
No one should know
that this is going to mess up all of your transfer negotiations with all the renewals on new contracts for your players, which it has been doing, right? Pogba, De Gea, Herrera. Anyway.
No, it's just tough because at the end of the day, no one could tell certain players are going to crater when they come to United. I mean, there's a few that come to mind. Next article, per the Evening Standard, again, take it with a grain of salt. Manchester United aim to wrap up João Felix and Bruno Fernandes transfer swiftly. Apparently, Manchester United have stepped up their pursuit of the Portuguese duo João Felix and Bruno Fernandes. I remember when we signed up-and-coming Portuguese winger, sir. It didn't go too badly. But again, they're thinking about $150 million, bringing them both to Old Trafford. I mean, I think this would be a great move, but one that I think is a little... I think there's just a little too much smoke, not a lot of tangibility here. If we were to sign João Felix, I mean, that'd be great, but that means we're splashing upwards of $400 million this summer because you're going to spend $150 for those two. You got a lot left to do. Right?
Well, I got happy ears when I hear this. I like the sound of it.
This is too sexy.
It's too good to be true. Like, how many times do you have package deals? I mean, sometimes some clubs, but not Manchester United. It's not usually our way. I think it might be possible that we're attracted to one of them and they're just trying to get a big fee for the two, or we'll see. But everyone seems to be pretty
like
attracted to João Felix. Yeah, agent talk, but yeah. We'll see.
We're cutting through the BS here.
Sancho seems to be the right wing.
This one, per ESPN, Manchester United's Paul Pogba will need to take pay cut at Real Madrid. Apparently, the Spanish club will not match his £290,000 a week wages. I mean, this is good news if you're a fan of Paul P at Manchester United. Again, I think if you're getting rid of Herrera in the midfield, if you got rid of Pogba, that would pretty much be devastating to our team. I've definitely questioned his attitude here on the podcast. But again, if he's staying another year, I'd imagine he'd buckle down or batter down the hatches here and, you know, start. He should be the captain. If Ole believes in him, he's backed him in the press. Seems like he wants him to stay. You know, this is good news, right?
I think so. I mean, I think Pogba wants a raise above the 290. So if Real Madrid aren't even going to meet the 290 he's at now, I don't know what that says about his value or the way he's valued in the market, but that makes it sound like he's going to get the best money in Manchester United, which is good for us because I want him to be here, be happy to be playing here, and, you know, only be thinking about playing in Manchester United, not be talking about Real Madrid in the press, not be flirting publicly, not have his agent doing so, which is basically the same thing as him doing it because he's directed by, you know, the player that basically pays Real's, you know, his bills. So we need to see that. We need to see that because especially if we're going to give him a new contract, I need him to be like committed to the club and no more flirting.
His agent is cheeky, though, so I'm sure we're going to see a lot more flirting, sir. Next article, and this one was interesting. This is a rumor per the Daily Mail. Angry Solskjaer blasted Martial's attitude in front of the entire Manchester United dressing room after Old Trafford draw with Chelsea. Martial, don't know the guy. Looks like he could be a little moody, but apparently he just completely dressed him down, gave him the hairdryer treatment, although I don't think Martial would be very receptive to that. Fans also criticized the 23-year-old winger on social media when he just was sitting there on the ball watching his teammates warm up because he wasn't included in the starting 11. I don't know how Martial went from scoring that goal that we saw at Fulham in the away stand, which is amazing, playing lights out, to where he is now, and similar to the whole team. So Solskjaer trying to, you know, give him a kick in the rear, get him going. You think we're going to see him at Huddersfield or Cardiff?
Well, he might be on the bench.
Is he injured?
I don't think he earned the start after that warm-up display. And I know it was only a clip, but it certainly doesn't look good. If you're warming up for a big game like it was against Chelsea, you should be at least faking it.
Well, he wasn't in the starting 11. He was on the bench, right? So it's like, I don't know.
You remember being on a sports team in high school. Imagine being on a professional sports team. If we were faking it then, you got to certainly go through the motions if you're getting paid.
I know, but this
be
is
ready.
Like, when it comes to football, it's like this is a lot of reading the tea leaves here. And again, if we believe everything the Daily Mail printed, there's a lot of crazy things that have happened in the Old Trafford dressing room and with Paul P and others. If you would like to, you know, mention a few, sir.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, let's get on to real matters. What's grinding John's gears this week, sir?
Sir, I thought about this one all day today, and what really grinds my gears is getting down to that Romelu Lukaku issue, the Alexis Sanchez issue, the Angel Di Maria issue. Pretty much all the players that come into Manchester United and play terribly, and they leave our club and they play like all-stars. So, again, when you were thinking about Lukaku, I was like, yeah, I could totally see him going to like Juventus and then being like scoring 40 goals. Like, what happened? Why at Manchester United do these players just like literally go on holiday? Why is Sanchez scoring 30 for Arsenal, coming to United and just hanging out, growing a mustache? And Di Maria to another extent, he goes to PSG, plays lights out. For, I don't know what it is.
It's a Farmers League.
Di Maria looked very good against us when we played him, and he did net. I think he had that really cheeky chip goal with LVG. Could it be LVG? Could it be the fact that players, the soul of the locker room has been lost and everyone coming here is looking for those big money deals and we think just throwing money at footballers is going to solve all of our problems? I think you can have money, but you need that Sir Alex at the helm to really guide the ship, because at the end of the day, it's not about the cash. But when you think at Manchester United, all the players we've brought in that have played terribly under different managers at Old Trafford and then left and gone on to do great things, short of everyone except for Falcao, maybe. It is pretty... There's a question there. What could be causing that?
I mean, Falcao even did all right at Monaco after leaving United. Pause at Chelsea first. It's probably the recruitment. It's probably like picking the wrong players the wrong time in their career, and then we had a lot of change in coaches and coaches that might not have even been picking the players, right? Di Maria probably wasn't even picked by Van Gaal. If it was up to him, it was just a Woodward choice who was available. He's big number naming signing. He'd be interested to come to United. You sign him. Same with Falcao. Same with the others. Now, I think if Ole's going to have more of a say, if we're going to put this executive team together, I think
example,
Lukaku has value, more value than...
I could see him going to Juventus and scoring 30. So, like, why would he be bad at United and then... I know wherever he goes again...
Why do we have no consistency in the squad? I mean, this team can have clean sheets, and they've just been playing absolutely dreadful. It's just like we lack the consistency. Maybe that's because we don't have a leader like we used to have. Like, we used to be able to rely on a Wayne Rooney or a Roy Keane, and we don't have that right now, and that's a huge part of it. But maybe it's just that these players aren't consistent
winners.
Well,
it used to be the opposite. Like, you used to take a Chicharito, like a mediocre player, put him in Manchester United, and he's an all-star. So when do we lose our mojo so bad where
Sir Alex Ferguson,
we're just paying all this money for all these all-stars to come and then they just chill out, even to a certain extent? Paul Pogba's first season at United compared to how he's playing at Juventus. I mean, if Paul Pogba goes to Real Madrid, I expect to see him in the Champions League final, right? You know, it's
But he's also playing around a different caliber of players, right? Who was next to him on that Juventus team versus who was next to him when he first joined United?
Another
example is
we got rid of Patrice Evra. He goes in the Juventus team, plays lights out. We shouldn't have got rid of him.
Yes, we should have. He was done.
He played in the Champions League final, and we haven't been back. So, you know, Daley Blind, he leaves Manchester United. He's playing at Ajax, doing great.
Shouldn't have got rid of Blind. I mean, over Rojo.
Evra, we got rid of him. He's playing in the Champions League final. At a certain point, you're like looking at all these players leaving.
Everyone's chilling on the beach right now, and Blind's going to be
playing in
the final.
So why do you keep Ashley Young and you get rid of Patrice the Beast?
I'm not in charge of this club.
Well, I'm saying there's a lot of things that you could think about as it relates to us letting these players go and them going on. Like, Mata could leave and play great.
We sold Wilf Zaha for like £4 million.
Yeah.
Bought him for 27, sold him after a year and a half, like crazy.
It's all about the Glazers and Woodward, because these are terrible decisions. And I think it's also relates to the culture in the locker room. Like you said, losing, obviously, you can't replace the Sir Alex, but having the manager change over, the players being more mercenary, looking after their own deals, trying to get bigger bumper deals, looking at how much everyone's making, it's become more probably of a money-making culture than it is a winning culture. Because, you know, you could pay Roy Keane peanuts and he would gladly put in a 2-foot challenge.
Free of charge.
On a Saturday, free of charge. Couple of peanuts, maybe a banana peel. Maybe what do you know? Sir, we have some housekeeping notes here on the American Red Devils podcast. First, to all the fans, you know, we love doing this pod. And we love this club. So thank you for listening. We wouldn't be doing it without you guys, and we are trying to produce as much consistent content as possible. And part of our plan, we got big things going this offseason. We had a few tweets on Twitter. Someone said, are you guys going to be posting this summer? We are, sir. We are going to be covering the transfer muppetry. We'll be breaking down the different tiers of publications and rumors and doing hot takes whenever we sign players. We're going to do a season recap where we give out all of our superlatives for the season, the win of the year, the loss of the year, the best players, the worst, the best goals, etc. And then we'll be doing a Football Manager podcast shortly after that when the transfer window opens up. We're going to give you our take, who we're going to buy, what would we spend that $350 on. So it'll be exciting to hear all the breakdown this summer. And look, if there's something to look forward to, it's this offseason. Rebuild 4.0. I mean, Manchester United have a long way to go. I think Alan Shearer was caught on BT Sports saying Manchester United are fucked as a football club. I think that was the quote he used on national TV. And I think we are, but...
But
another thing that Rio Ferdinand said was you're never as far off as you think. You look at Liverpool pre-Van Dijk, Liverpool after Van Dijk, one player like that can change the game, and they could also kill you. So letting go of Herrera could kill our game. Either way, big things planned for this pod, and we would appreciate any feedback you can give us. We have a survey out. There's a link on our Facebook and our Twitter, and you can fill it out. We're giving away a Manchester United 2019-2020 jersey of your choice to one participant who fills out the survey. We're close to 100 responses, and that way we can make this podcast better by getting your feedback. Sir, I actually tweeted out, Sports Direct posted the store purchase of the new jersey. It's pretty much confirmed. It is a 20th year anniversary of the treble.
What's with that badge?
But the way they went about the design is that they should have just taken the jersey we won the treble in and then just put a Chevrolet logo on it. And instead, they decided to make something a little more emo. And the badge is very dark. The Adidas is very dark. So that Chevrolet shines real bright across the front. And that's my...
is that not what's grinding John's gears this week?
Next week. I would not mind the Chevrolet if it was all white. If it was all white, it would be tolerable. The fact that it's got the gold grill. It's like, come on. It's just not a good look. Either way, we'll give you one.
Whatever you want.
We'll give you one and a scarf to one lucky listener that completes the survey. So it only takes 5 minutes. It's totally worth it. Player, size. Hey, we still got the away kit. You don't have to pick the home kit. You could do the third.
They might do better on those, too.
You want. And then if that player doesn't turn out, you can mail it back to us. We'll burn it for you.
I'm lying.
We're going to be burning some jerseys this summer. We'll get that on the social media. Lots of fun things, sir. The American Red Devils, we never sleep here as far as getting you guys quality content.
It's all about the pod.
We've had a hell of a download since that Chelsea match. Everyone getting salty. Give us our top cities last 7 days here.
Last seven. Number one, we got a newcomer, Sutton, UK. How you doing?
Sutton.
Number two, HQ, aka The Couch, San Francisco, California. And number three, Halifax, Canada. What up? How you doing? Keep it going, sir.
Number four, Eugene, Oregon. Number five, Astoria, New York. Number six, Seattle, Washington. Shout out to the Seattle Red Army, sir. Finish us out.
Number seven, New York, New York. Number eight, L.A., California. Number nine, Keller, Texas. And number 10, Chicago, Illinois.
Chirac City, baby.
Call them what you might.
Woo! You know,
hell of a week. Appreciate the downloads. Let's keep them coming. Hopefully the results will follow at some point.
We have a 6% chance of getting top four. It's been a hell of a ride. Let's finish strong. Regardless, we got to control what we can control. Get these two wins. Play the youth. And then 4.0, sir, rebuild. How's it feel?
Or is it the wheel?